This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is Hikaleo.
I am ELP.
And this is Keeping It Strong Style.
We love you. Mwah.
Yo, this is Rich Latta from One Nation Radio. This is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network. We present to you the Ace of Podcasts, Keeping It Strong Style. Let's go. It's the Ace of Podcasts, Keeping It Strong Style. Covering New Japan, they ready to hold it down. Jeremy Donovan and the young boy Josh come and hit a job out in Barrio the Frost. From the Tokyo Dome over to the G1. Social Suplex is the network where we can get it done. I'ma chill and let them have it, cause this is just an intro. Keeping the strong style, 6 stars from the get-go, boy. Yeah, from Tampa Bay to the Tokyo Dome, this is Keeping It Strong Style with your hosts, Jeremy Donovan and the young boy Joshua Smith. And thank you for listening.
Welcome to Keeping It Strong Style, the Ace of Podcasts on the Social Suplex Podcast Network. Jeremy Donovan here with the young boy Josh Smith. On today's show, we will review Blue Justice 14 and preview King of Pro Wrestling. Please support our show by subscribing and following the Social Suplex Podcast Network and Keeping a Strong Style on the podcast app of your choice and leaving a rating and review. You can also get all the network's podcasts over at socialsuplex.com. Check out our Chop Tea store, chop-tees.com/socialsuplex. That's where you can get your official Keeping a Strong Style merchandise. If you enjoy this podcast, please consider making a one-time or monthly donation by visiting socialsuplex.com/donate and click on the donate button under the Keeping It Strong Style logo. And we are not streaming live this week. As you probably have seen on the news, Hurricane Milton is coming to the Tampa Bay area. So we are not streaming this week, and we're going to be doing a shorter than usual episode so that we can finish getting ready for hurricane prep.
Yeah, I'd like to title this episode The Broadway Special, because I've got a hard out at 1 hour. As soon as you said, and we are, I hit the 1 hour timer at 7:15 p.m. It's 6:15 p.m. now, Eastern time. In 1 hour, we got to go. Well, so this is going to be about the length of Shawn Michaels versus John Cena on Raw from London. You know, it's going to be about that length.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a good week for it, too. We don't have a whole ton to preview and review this week. So, yeah, we'll jump right into it and get out of here. First thing, I don't know if we want to push this to next week. Wrestler of the Month, Match of the Month.
We can go over it. We haven't discussed it live on the air, but you mentioned Hanare or Doki. I don't know. I'm kind of torn there. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I narrowed those two down because this was a month where a lot of Road 2s didn't air, and the Road 2s that did air, there was a lot of title matches, and both these guys had two title matches this month. Hanare defending against Hiromu in that great Corkin Hall match, and then dropping the title to Shingo at Destruction in Kobe. And then Doki had two really good defenses. He defended against Taiji Ishimori in Corkin, and then he defended against Kanemaru at Kobe.
It's a really... I think I got to go Doki on that one, mainly for this reason. Even though I feel like of those four matches, Hanare versus Hiromu peaked the highest, I think the overall consistency would probably be stronger with Doki in terms of just consistency of match strength, as well as him successfully defending two times in a row, especially one of those matches against one of the big three in the junior division. So yeah, that's where I'm kind of leaning Doki there. And I know that might be a little biased because I am a Doki guy, but that's what I'm thinking there.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. Let's do it. Let's count him. Doki, the September Wrestler of the Month. Then for match of the month, I had the Hanare versus Hiromu match, or Dave Finley versus Yoshihashi.
Yeah, this is one where I knew it was going to come down to these two, and I'm just totally split. I don't know what your thoughts are. Both of those matches were incredible for entirely different reasons. I think as a fan, just for my own personal tastes, I think Hanare Hiromu might be the one I lean a little bit more towards, but I have a feeling that the overwhelming voices out there in the audience probably prefer Finley Yoshihashi. I'm just going to guess. I haven't looked.
Yeah, I think they're both rated pretty evenly. I don't know. There's something about Yoshihashi and Finley that was just a little bit more emotional for me, but I could be convinced either way.
Yeah, you know what? I think you're probably right. Let's go Finley Yoshihashi. Both of those matches were meaningful in different ways, but Finley Yoshihashi kind of almost feels like a, I don't know. We'll see if they capitalize off of it, but like we've already seen, I think part of the thing with Hanare Hiromu is that the aftermath of that match and the all of the talking points afterward were so negative. It's sort of, you know, kind of hampers the feelings about that match in general. Whereas Finley Yoshihashi, it's, you know, kind of jubilant and very positive. So that's probably the right way to go there.
Yeah. Had Hanare or had Hiromu won, I could definitely see people going higher on this match and they probably would have ended up winning.
Yeah. You know, we had the Blue Justice tour here. I feel like this is just my feeling and we're riffing live on there. We haven't talked that. We've been prepping for the fucking hurricane all day, so we haven't talked that much. My feeling is we run through these results and then just do broad talking points, because while the show was very entertaining and it was a pretty good road to, especially with it being a Blue Justice, I don't know that it was that noteworthy to where every single match needs to be broken down necessarily.
Yeah, no, we can definitely kind of do some broad strokes here and kind of talk about some big picture stuff. So yeah, so this was the 40th anniversary show for Yuji Nagata, Blue Justice 14, in Togane Arena, Yuji Nagata's hometown. Had a reported attendance here of 1,387. Show opened up, we had Daiki Nagai, Katsuya Murashima, and Bolton Oleg defeating Masatora Yusada, Shomakato, and Toriano 7 minutes and 16 seconds here. So not any really huge story elements here. Also, you got the Young Lions in there. I guess the big story here is that Yusada got his first victory in his career, even though he wasn't involved in the finish. He still gets a W in the win column. So that's kind of the big story here.
I mean, this was a good opener. The guy's got some time, some reps in there. And like you said, this was a big storyline kind of benchmark for Yusada.
Yeah. And then following that, we had the Bullet Club team of Bad Luck Fale, Caveman Ugg, and Taiji Ishimori defeating the TMDK team of Hartley Jackson, Mikey Nichols, and Shane Hayes. And we had a question from Def Triangle 720. Thoughts on Hartley Jackson and Caveman? These two could be assets to the Never Division and a new faction if need be. So first time in Japan for Caveman Ugg. Second time recently seeing Hartley Jackson this year. What are your thoughts on these two big guys?
I think they're both very impressive. I've been very impressed with Caveman Ugg every time I've seen him covering the Tamashii brand and kind of venturing out into like PWA and stuff like that. And you know, the match was kind of a showcase for him as well as Hartley Jackson. And I feel like that was one of the big positive points of the show, was having some of these fresh faces kind of round out the roster, which kind of added a little bit of excitement, gave the brand a boost, you know?
Yeah, I thought both guys looked really good. Really impressed with Caveman Ugg. Like you mentioned, every time we see him, he's a very impressive, and I think he's going to get over big. I mean, just from the crowd reactions he was getting, you know, he has that big, like, prehistoric fossil mass thing, and he was scaring little kids and getting over, and it just seemed like the crowd really took to him from the get-go just for his size and his appearance and the way he wrestled. Very impressive. So yeah, good to see those guys. So yeah, Fale and Caveman Ugg, they are the number one contenders for the tag title. So it's kind of a preview match for the tag team title match and them getting momentum here once again over the TMDK team. Then following that, we had Sho and Yoshinobu Kanemaru defeating Doki and Taka Michinoku. This was a preview for the upcoming IWGP Junior Heavyweight title match. So have the Torture getting the advantage here, tapping out Taka Michinoku to get the win here.
Yep, kind of exactly what you would expect here. Not much to sink your teeth into, you know, bad guys cheating, Doki and Taka ruling. That is basically what this match was.
Yeah. And following that, we had Hiromu Takahashi and Yota Tsuji defeating the United Empire team of Jacob Austin Young and Jeff Cobb in 9 minutes and 10 seconds. Key here, Hiromu getting over this new inverted figure four. I don't know exactly what you call it. Figure four type maneuver he's doing.
Yeah, I noticed on commentary, Walker Stewart mentioning, kind of alluding to the idea that this move is being perfected for a potential showdown in the future with Naito. I don't know if that's something that he just kind of riffed with and then is throwing that off the cuff, or if somebody like Chris Charlton or somebody in management told him to say something like that. I don't know. Could just be headcanon stuff, but it is an effective finisher. They're getting it established, so it wouldn't be hard to imagine a strong submission finisher being effective against heavyweights and that kind of being the key to making him a viable threat if and when he might potentially face off against Naito. And I assume that's probably the story they're telling.
Yeah, it makes a ton of sense. Also, yeah, go after the bad knees. So yeah, we saw him break this out with Akira, who came back from knee injury recently and now busting it out on Jacob Austin Young. So yeah, definitely going to probably get this over going into Dome season.
Kind of reminds me of the TTO when Jay White was, using his leg submission against Broken Down Tanahashi. And last thing I will say about this match, probably match of the night. Four very exciting individuals who, you know, just gelled really well with one another. And, this was, for me, the highlight of the evening in terms of just work rate.
Yeah, really good stuff here. Then following that, we had Hiroshi Tanahashi, Shota Umino, and Tomohiro Ishii defeating Dick Togo, Evil, and Yujiro, 8 minutes and 46 seconds.
Thank God for Ishii, you know? I don't know. The match was fine. I think I'm a little long in the tooth when it comes to, sitting through House of Torture, Tanahashi, Hantai matches. It's kind of getting a little stale for me at this point. Not that I was ever super jazzed about it to begin with, but I'm like, have we not moved on? And like, is this going to keep going? Am I going to have to watch Tanahashi and Evil in the Dome? Cause that's what it's feeling like.
Oh boy. Yeah. We've been there, done that now with these guys. And yeah, they've beat the team twice now in tile defenses and they're still rolling it out. I'm like, man, can we get a different direction for both of these units? Then following that, we had the team of Bishamon teaming up with the Intergalactic Jet Setters and Tomioka Hanma to defeat the Bullet Club War Dogs of Clark Connors, Dave Finley, Drill Amoni, Gabe Kidd, and Gato in 11 minutes and 12 seconds. So a preview here for the upcoming junior tag title match with Connors and Drilla against the Jet Setters, and then also a preview for Goto and David Finley.
Yeah, this was fine. Again, like I mentioned, a lot of fresh faces. So it's been a little while since we've seen Kevin Knight, Kushida, and then, some of the Bullet Club War Dogs guys. War Dog guys have sort of, been on a bit of a hiatus. So kind of seeing all of those guys back, Drill Maloney and Clark Connors, that was refreshing. And, this was fine. In terms of like a 10-man tag, it was fine. It did a good job setting the stage for those upcoming matches.
Yeah, I thought this was a pretty fun matchup. Kevin Knight looked really good. He was doing some impressive stuff as usual. Big dive to the outside. He ended up getting the pin over Gato to pick up momentum for the Jet Setters. Then following that, we had the semi-main event, TMDK, Kosei Vegeta, Ryohei Oiwa, and Zack Sabre Jr. They defeated the LIJ team of Bushi, Shingo, and Naito. So preview for the upcoming NEVER title match and upcoming IWGP World Heavyweight title match.
Yeah, this was also very good. Much in the same way that I liked the United Empire versus LIJ preview tag earlier on the card. I felt like this was one of the stronger offerings of the evening as well. You know, say what you will about Naito being broken down, and it's all true, but him and Zach, they gel. I thought they had some pretty good interactions in this match. And then, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, Shingo and Oiwa.
Yeah, that should be a lot of fun. They had some good interactions here. And so, yeah, I think they're going to have a really good singles match next Monday. And so that took us to the main event here. Jun Akiyama and the hometown boy Yuji Nagata, they defeat the NOAH team of Atsushi Kotoge and Go Shiozaki in 19 minutes and 44 seconds.
This is the match that was most heated. It was the main event. I don't know personally if I felt like it delivered in terms of the same level of athleticism and action that we got from those two other matches that I liked, but it served its role and its purpose. The crowd was very much behind these guys. This is clearly, you know, the what sold the tickets and why everybody was jam-packed into the building. And, you know, they wanted to see Yuji Nagata get the win on his big anniversary. And some hard-hitting action. It's always good to see Yuji Nagata and Jun Akiyama team up. And, you know, this one's also kind of unique because we're getting NOAH and DDT and New Japan guys like all on the same card on a New Japan card, which is pretty rare these days. So very, very fun. I thought everybody, you know, worked hard and got their shit in, and, you know, the good guys stood tall at the end.
Yeah, I thought this was a pretty hard hitting matchup here. These guys were definitely working snug and throwing in shots here. And yeah, I thought it was a fun, lively main event. A lot of it centered around Nagata and Go, as they've had a match earlier this year that went to a time limit draw, and Go is the current 0-1 world champion right now, and Nagata did pin Go.
Which 0-1?
Which 0-1? One of them.
One of them.
Nagata did pin Go with the Blue Justice backdrop driver, so they did tease that Nagata would get a title shot against Go in the future. But yeah, very hard-hitting match of good stuff. Glad to see Yuji Nagata get a big win here in his hometown in the main event. And good way to close the show off.
You know, I don't want to delve too much into outside Pururezu stuff, but 15 minutes. 15 minutes has elapsed. you know, I'm not the Pururezu expert when it comes to outside groups, but I've heard the talk for a while now that, like, there's nobody in 0-1 that could hypothetically beat Go Shiozaki in terms of just the politics of it all. And so I'm like, I've heard people kind of speculating on that. And then it's like, well, I guess Nagata could probably do it. Like, Nagata could be that carryover guy because he could win the belt, bring some prestige and stuff. But like, New Japan's not the same way that New Japan's not going to protect, you know, like Kojima from whoever it is that's going to beat Kojima. And it could be pretty much, but you know, like, let's say hypothetically, it's like a Mads Kruger.
Yeah.
That would be fine, you know, because it's Kojima and you know, as long as he has a little respectable run, he'll be fine. I feel like that's probably what's going to happen. They'll put the 0-1 belt on Nagata, and then he'll lose it to somebody over there, whoever that is. And I think he's kind of able to eat that loss a little bit better than, Go is in his current role at NOAH.
Definitely. And we've seen Nagata kind of be used in this role. I mean, he was recently champion in All Japan. And it seems like, you know, in this kind of phase of his career, he can kind of go to all these smaller promotions. He can win belts and be used as a guy, like you mentioned, to bring credibility to these titles. But then also, because he's where he's at now in his career, yeah, anybody could beat him. And so you could use the opportunity, if you're smart, to pick a young guy, build him up, and have him beat, you know, this former IWGP champion, you know, New Japan legend. And so it's definitely a good way to help other small promotions.
Yeah. And I mean, I know some people are probably listening and they're like, well, in some aspects, Nagata's a bigger star than Go is. And that's probably true. At the same time, he's much older and kind of, you know, had his time in the limelight. And New Japan's not, they've already shown in the past that they're okay under the right circumstances for him to do that job. Whereas, like, there's kind of a working relationship with NOAH and 0-1 and 0-1 Max or whatever the fuck all those groups are. And I just don't think the politics work out properly for them to have a guy that's you know, even though he's seen better years in terms of his body, he's still like upper echelon of Noah. Like he can't do that job. So, and he could if 0-1 had somebody, but they really don't. So that's the issue.
Yeah. So that was it for Blue Justice. So coming up next Monday, October 14th, we will have King of Pro Wrestling 2024. So we'll go through the card here, give our predictions for each of the matchups. So show's going to open up. We're going to have Mystico taking on Hiromu Takahashi. And we had a question from Rambones. He says, I'm really excited for Hiromu versus Mystico. But given that Mystico rarely loses, I'm assuming he goes over here. What, if any, impact do you think that will have on the story that they've been telling for Hiromu trying to move into the open weight or heavyweight programs?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that was beneficial for him to have lost so recently to Hinari, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know if they are telling that story that he's trying to go into the heavyweights. I mean, they certainly sold us on that idea during the Never Open Weight Title Challenge VTR, but whether or not they're actually going to go forward with that story or not, it remains to be seen. I don't know, but Mystico's already had success against Hiromu at this point, in terms of their personal rivalry and the partnership between these two groups. I feel like Hiromu probably needs to go over, but he's absolutely right. Mystico very rarely jobs, so it's a tough one.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Hiromu's going to win because they wrestled earlier this year in Mexico in Mystico's home promotion, home country, and Mystico got the win. So I feel like this is him returning the favor, coming to Japan, losing to Hiromu in Hiromu's home country, and then they're even. So maybe if he hadn't already won, maybe it might have been harder to convince him to job. But I think since he's already got the win, I think that he'll do the job here for Hiromu.
Yeah, and I mean, it didn't really hurt Hiromu long term for him to have done that job over in Mexico. And I don't know, you know, not that people won't be somewhat aware of it, but how much are they really going to be talking about this, you know, the next Friday when he's in Arena Mexico? Probably not at all.
Yeah. I wonder what the MLW fan base will think with their MLW middleweight champion and Opera Cup winner doing a job here.
Yeah, I don't know. we were supposed to be there last Friday, but Helene scared them off, and now we got Milton to deal with. So
yeah, Helene made the hot tag to Milton.
Fuck, if ever, this is a serious hot tag.
Yeah. So following that, we will have the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title match as the Bullet Club War Dogs, Clark Connors, and Drilla Maloney will defend against the Intergalactic Jet Setters of Kevin Knight and Kushida.
Yeah, it's a tough one when it comes to the Intergalactic Jet Setters because, again, their contract status with New Japan, it's never totally clear as to how that's all going, whether they're just, you know, are they part-timers or are they going to be like utilized more heavily moving forward? And so anytime they have a title challenge, you're kind of questioning, like, is this going to be like just a one tour thing or are we in it for the long haul? In the same, you know, regard, Bull Club War Dogs have held on to this title for quite a long time. A lot of defenses. We're getting ready to head right now into Junior Tag League upcoming here pretty shortly. So this is going to have some strong effects on you know, whatever that tournament's layout is. I'm torn here. I think the match is going to be good because they've had some good matches in the past, but I don't know. I mean, usually they flip-flop this belt a lot. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, it's a coin toss because and it's two good booking directions. Like you either A, continue the dominant reign of the champions and have them go forward into tag league and be dominant, or you put it on Kevin Knight and Kushida, entertain tag team, you push them through the tour, and then maybe they drop the belts after Super Junior Tag League. So I don't think you really go wrong. I think the only issue maybe with War Dogs winning, it's like, all right, who are they going to lose to? Who's next? Because they've kind of beating out all the current teams, you know, they're being catch 2-2 Jet Setters, You know, just five guys. They've beaten a lot of these teams. So, like, are we getting some new teams for junior tag league that could potentially beat them, or does it make sense to just put it on jet setters?
Well, here's my logic of thinking. I think New Japan, I don't know this to be the case. I haven't talked to anybody, but if I was New Japan, I would want to invest in Kevin Knight, you know, like I'd probably see something positive out of him long-term there. At the same time, they've pretty much proven to us that they don't see a future or have, you know, positive feelings about Kushida. So, not that they couldn't, they've already held the titles before, so it's not like they couldn't again, but you got to think we're getting pretty close to dome season. Whatever team, like if you do put the belt on the jet setters, that's pretty much a clear indication that they're likely going to be involved in some sort of junior tag scenario, very likely at the Tokyo Dome. And even though the company is probably somewhat high on Kevin Knight, I just don't know how high they are on Kushida and whether they're wanting to invest that way. Whereas we know how they feel about the Bullet Club War Dogs. Like that's their guys right now. I think it for me, I'm just thinking that tag tournament's right around the corner. If you drop the belts now, then the War Dogs kind of need to win that tournament. And maybe that's the way they go. But I'm feeling like since they're the bad guys, I think they're probably going to retain. We're probably going to set up new challengers in that tournament.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the easiest thing to go. So, yeah, I'll go with you there. Yeah, I think Bullet Club War Dogs retain here and go into Junior Tag League as the champions. So then following that, we'll have the IWGP Tag Team Title match. TMDK, Mikey Nichols, and Shane Hayes will defend against the Bullet Club Rogue Army team of Bad Luck Fale and Caveman Ugh. Question from Rambones. How excited are you for Fale and Caveman Ugh to challenge your tag titles? Does Fale have some kind of blackmail material on Gato?
No, he's a dojo guy. He's loyal to New Japan. He might be a scumbag who's done some shady shit in Australia with his dojo, but that doesn't mean that he's not going to ever work for the company again or anything like that. You know, I was a little negative when I first heard about the pairing because for some reason, I don't know, when you said it was Caveman Ugh, I was thinking it was Jack Bonza. And actually, that's no slight on Jack Bonza because I think he's good too. I'm a fan of his, but I was not a big fan of the Bonza Fale pairing. We really haven't, aside from just this recent preview tag, we haven't really seen what that tag team looks like in regular tag action. But you know, I don't imagine that the match is going to be outstanding or anything like that. But it's a big monster of the week tag team that TMDK kind of needs to overcome. I'd be very surprised if Fale and Caveman Ugh won here. Then again, it's 2024 New Japan. We've seen a lot of tag title switches this year already. You just never know what might happen here. But you know, I'm leaning TMDK, and I don't expect this match to be anything, you know, noteworthy.
Yeah, I wish maybe they could have brought somebody else in the team with Caveman Ugh, but like you mentioned, obviously Bad Luck Fale, product of the Noge Dojo. Dojo guys are going to get, you know, a spot for life unless they do something crazy that's publicized. And so, yeah, not super excited about seeing him. Caveman Ugh looks really good, though. So if we can keep the match mainly with Nichols and Hayes against Caveman Ugh, that it should be somewhat fun. But yeah, I think the smart money is for TMDK to retain here, especially if they have a strong tag title match coming up in Royal Quest against Ishii and Tanahashi. So I don't know if you want them losing going into that matchup. So I agree. I'm with you also with these guys retaining. But like you mentioned, it's the tag titles. It's New Japan. They flip up these belts. They'll put it on random tag teams. And I wouldn't be completely shocked if they decided, you know, why not? Let's put it on these guys and do something with some of these Tamashii guys to try and get some attention on that brand.
One thing I wanted to mention earlier that I forgot, I think it is interesting that Hiromu and Mystico is being used as the opener for the show as opposed to a more prominent position. You always hear wrestlers say, if you're not going to be the main event, it's better to be the opener, but you know, that's a match like Mystico and Hiromu. You could see that headlining like a Corkin Hall during Super Juniors or something like that, or like a Fantascomania. So the fact that it's being used as the opener is very interesting. I think the match is going to be pretty stellar. And again, I'm a little torn on the booking there, but I think it's gonna be interesting. The match should be very good though. The crowd's going to be very into it.
Yeah. So following the tag title match, we're going to have the never open weight title match. Shingo Takagi will defend against The Grip, Rei Oiwa. Def Triangle 720 asks, do you guys think it's time for returning Young Lion to win gold at KOPW?
I would love it. You know, I think that would be very, very, very exciting. But I don't, you know, with, again, it's New Japan 2024 booking. I just don't know if they're going to pull the trigger this early, right out the gate. They've shown that they're gun shy to do that with other guys returning recently, but it really just depends. If they do it, then that kind of really tells you how the company feels about this guy's prospects and his outlook and where they see him at current day. But if history tells us anything, they're not going to go all the way just yet. Like, he'll probably fail in challenging, which is what I'm predicting personally.
Yeah, I expect Shingo Takagi to retain here, especially because he's somewhere in the mix with this whole Naito storyline and the whole LIJ versus LIJ thing, and wanted to face Naito at the Tokyo Dome. So again, it's kind of like, even, you know, Hiromu shouldn't have lost to Inoue. I don't think you want Shingo losing to Oiwa here if he's going to be potentially in some kind of program with Naito
in his first title defense.
Right.
I don't know why you would have even put the belt on him. They could have just kept it on Hanare and then had Hanare drop it to Oiwa, if that's the way we're going.
Right. And plus, too, you look at the way like Oiwa was brought back. He didn't get a super huge debut. He just got the Mystery X thing. And so I feel like if they were going to push him, he would have gotten a little bit of a bigger debut and reveal and made a little bit more of a big deal. So yeah, I expect a very good match, but Shingo to retain. What do you think about his Grip nickname?
I didn't know that was his nickname at all, so I don't know. I had no thoughts about it.
Yeah, so yeah.
30 minutes. 30 minutes have elapsed. 30 minutes remain.
Yeah, so yeah, he's calling himself The Grip. He says because every opportunity he's going to put a grip on it, and also his spinning lariat is also called The Grip as well.
I feel like some of these nicknames are just lost in translation type of shit.
Yeah. So following that, NJPW World TV title match, Jeff Cobb will defend against Ren Narita and Yota Tsuji.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit, obviously, I don't think this was the original plan, but the injury to Narita kind of put it made it more difficult for them to get to where they're trying to go. I'm not super compelled. I don't like throughways anyways. Like, there's very few throughways in any company that I'm high on. And I don't know, a 15-minute time limit with these three guys, I don't know. It'll probably be fun and entertaining, but I just don't know how good that could actually be. And it's going to be interesting to see whether they flip the title or not, because I mean, I could see a situation where Ren Narita or Yota Tsuji beat one another and just cut Jeff Cobb out of the equation altogether.
Yeah, I feel like Ren Narita is going to steal a pin here. I think, you know, they've been building up Cobb and Tsuji a lot during undercard tags, and so I can see the match being them kind of getting Narita out of the way, and then they're continuing to beat on each other, and then out of nowhere, you know, the push-up bar hits Cobb, and then just roll up on Tsuji, and I can definitely see Narita stealing this thing here.
I'm kind of leaning that way too. Plus, depending on how it all plays out, you could easily get back to a Narita Tsuji match, you know, for one of the other pay-per-views, or I don't know. I could totally see what you're saying. So we'll see if it plays out that way or not.
Yeah. So now following that, we'll have El Fantasmo, Hiroshi Tanahashi, and Chota Umino versus the House of Torture's evil Yoshinobu Kanemaru and Yujiro Takahashi.
Again, over this, war between these two groups. But the story here, the guy you want to keep your eyes on, it's El Fantasmo and also Shota Umino. Those are the two guys you want to pay attention to. But El Fantasmo just kind of aligned himself recently with Hantai in a more official status. So it's kind of his coming out party. And, you know, Shota Umino, everyone's kind of wondering, like, where this guy's at. What's he going to do next and everything like that. It seems like all his counterparts are embroiled in something meaningful. So is he just playing second fiddle here, or is he going to make some sort of a noteworthy mark?
Yeah, I think Hantai is going to win here with ELP coming back, like he mentioned. And plus, you know, Umino still kind of has that title opportunity in his back pocket by eliminating Zach in that special Rambo that a couple weeks ago. So it definitely seems like he's going to be getting a title shot sometime in the fall. So I think that Hantai will get the win here and continue to see the losing streak of House of Torture. So then following that IWGP Junior Heavyweight title match, Doki will defend against Sho.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of this pairing. I also would not be surprised if Sho, unfortunately, were to gain the title or regain the title, I should say. That would just be such a New Japan thing to do right now, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm pulling for Doki, but you have to wonder. I mean, he's beaten all of the top guys back to back to back. What are we doing for the Dome? Do we have, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, that is another thing too. I know I keep going back to that first match, but aren't we supposed to sort of be expecting a Doki versus Mystico match in some aspect that they sort of, teased?
Yeah, there was a face off there, and Discord Daddy did ask, should Mystico challenge Doki if Doki beats Sho, and if Mystico beats Hiromu? Because if Mystico loses, I don't really expect him to come out and challenge.
Right. Is there the possibility that he beats Hiromu to set up some sort of redemption story? Because Hiromu fails to beat Mystico, he fails to beat, Hinare. And I don't know, they tell their own story to get to him and Naito off of that. And they use that as the catalyst for Doki and Mystico for probably the Dome, I'm guessing. Or, you know, 1-4, 1-5, something like that.
You know what? Maybe 1-5, because that's CMLL is going to be involved in a dynasty. So, yeah, maybe this is Mystico's way of getting his slot on January 5th.
Is there any chance Mystico could lose to Hiromu and still come out and challenge anyways?
I mean, it's New Japan, so I mean, I could see it happening. I don't think it makes the greatest sense, but you still could do it.
Yeah, interesting. I'm wondering, because I'm like, why is that the opener there? You know, we're all kind of betting on this idea that, you know, we're going to get to Hiromu and Naito, but you know, I'm also, we'll get there, but I think Naito is losing this night. So does Hiromu really need to get the win to get to that prize if they're both coming off losses?
Not necessarily.
Yeah, not necessarily. I don't know. I think I've just convinced myself. I think we're going to see Mystico go back to back on Hiromu.
Yeah. The more we play it out, I'm like, yeah, I think that is the way.
We get him and Doki, but then that makes me nervous, because I'm like, are they gonna have Doki beat Mystico?
Well, does that mean that Doki doesn't defend for the rest of the year then?
No, not necessarily. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. DeathRangle720 also asks, with Despy returning, do you see him regaining the junior title or have Doki reign continue? For me, I think Despy holding the title until Wrestle Kingdom against some will have more buzz than Doki as champion. Sorry, Doki fans.
I mean, there's no denying that that is certainly the case, that Desperado is, you know, in some ways, maybe the biggest star in the division. It's certainly, you know, split between him and Hiromu. So Doki has only now started to really establish himself as being, I mean, bro, at the beginning of the year, the idea that he could even beat Hiromu in a singles match was far-fetched. The idea that he could, you know, beat his record in the G or in the Super Juniors was far-fetched. The idea that he would be champion at all, that he would do it by beating, you know, all the top guys in the division. These were all, I mean, if you'd asked me, I would have said that was fanboy type shit.
Yeah. So yeah, we'll see. I mean, obviously Desperado coming back from injury, also a very key player there. So yeah, we'll see what happens. But I mean, Doki Mystico is right there if you want to have a big matchup for Doki at 1-4, 1-5. So then semi-main event here, IWGP Global Heavyweight title. David Finlay defends against Hirooki Goto.
I'm excited for this match. And, you know, they're doing something right. If I'm excited for David Finlay matches, I've been an ardent hater of him. Even when, you know, even when I've had positive things to say, I've just never really been that jazzed up for his matches. But him and Goto, they do have good chemistry. Goto's had a banner year and a kind of resurgent year. And David Finlay is like hitting his stride right now. And, you know, if it weren't for the WWE Dolph Ziggler little run that happened earlier in the year, then, you know, I feel like David Finlay would have been probably champion this whole time. But he's certainly been the guy that's thus far like ruled that division. I'm going with David Finlay. I, as much as I like Goto and as much as I would love to see him get this title and head to the dome. And if he does, I'll be, you know, jumping up and down. I just think that they're probably going to stick with Finlay personally.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think Finlay is going to retain here and I expect another great matchup. I think I can see a similar story to the Yoshihashi match where Goto is getting great crowd reactions. He's getting great near falls and the people believe in him, but then Finlay just pulls it out and gets the win and kind of upsets the people that the guy that people want to win. And I think he's very good in that role and kind of beating the fan favorites, being the guy that you really, really want to get a big win, especially for a guy like Goto, you know, who's a New Japan Cup finalist, had that good story in the G1 and wanted to do it for his kids. And, you know, they've really relied a lot on Goto this year in some big spots. And so, I think there's going to be a lot of people that want him to win this title. But yeah, I think Finlay is going to get the win here. Maybe a question from that dude named Menace. With the push that Dave Finlay is getting, do you think he wins the IWGP title next year?
I'm not 100% bullish on that, but with the popularity of the group, the good work that they've all been doing, and the way they've kind of reestablished the Bullet Club brand, you can't put it past them.
Yeah, I would say
40 minutes have elapsed, 20 minutes remain.
I wouldn't say that it's a guaranteed lock, but it's definitely the more that he continues to progress and the more the group gets popular again, it's definitely an option. So that will take us to the main evento, IWGP World Heavyweight title match, Tetsuya Naito defending against the G1 Climax winner, Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind to get here. So the world title picture has been very, topsy-turvy this year for sure, especially with Naito at the helm. But I just feel like this is the time for Zach. I don't really have much of a better reason than that. Of course, they could go a different direction. And, you know, some of the projections that are, on the table when it comes to Naito going into the dome, there's quite a few things, maybe even arguably more things that you could potentially do. But at the same time, I think with Zach, we've kind of seen them lining up challengers for him. Naito has seemed disengaged, almost as though he knows that he's on his way out from this title run. And Zach's got all the momentum. Now, we've seen situations like this. I mean, even Naito versus Okada at Wrestle Kingdom 12 is like a prime example where people were, you know, really, 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 really behind him and thinking that it was his time and they delayed it, you know, mm-hmm. by quite a while. And they could do something like that here too. But business-wise, the company's not in the same kind of shape that they were before, you know, to be able to take gambles like that. I feel like it would be unwise to not capitalize on the goodwill and the forward momentum that they have with Zach right now. And, you know, if they don't try, you're never going to know if it's going to work. It might not work with Zach, but you know, we know there's not very much much more juice left in the squeeze when it comes to Naito. Those knees are held together by gum, chewing gum, and, you know,
yeah,
scotch tape. So it's going to be tough. I think the match is going to be really good, but I think we're going to get a new IWGP World Heavyweight Champion in Zack Sabre Jr.
I agree. Expecting a great match, and I think all the signs are pointing towards Zack getting the win there. They've already set up potential title challengers for him with Sonata and Shota Umino, and the Sonata match is already official, though that match is happening at Royal Quest, and I think it would be a really great move to have Zack defend against Sonata, turn that into a title match, main event Royal Quest, and make that show even a bigger deal, having Zack main event that. So yeah, I think that he is going to get the big win here and become the champion. Like you mentioned, yeah, now's the time. You never know if you don't try. And I mean, they've tried with worse. You know, we've had to sit through an evil IWGP title reign. So, you know, why not give us a Zack Sabre Jr.? We know the matches will be great. He's over. He's going to get great reactions. And I think right now, with the state of Naito's body, it's probably the best move to put it on Zack and move towards Zack being a champion and going to the Tokyo Dome. And we had a question from Rambone Slam Pig, because I'm all in on CSJ winning the belt. I still believe Naito will challenge him to regain it at the Tokyo Dome. If that isn't the direction, who would you put against CSJ if you are only picking from actual contracted NJPW talent?
Nobody. I won't rehash the entire theory, but you know, the bottom line is New Japan does not put in first time headliners for the Tokyo Dome historically against another first time headliner. They just don't do it. They only put in headliners, and there's only three modern day guys that they have currently under contract that could even potentially do it. And that's Naito, Shingo, and Tanahashi. And Tanahashi's broken down. So if it wasn't Naito, it'd have to be Shingo. Those are your, if we're talking strictly contracted guys, you know, because the older guys who have done it, like Nagata and Kojima and all them, they're not going to count. So really, this is what you have. Those are only two guys.
Yeah. So yeah, I'd be surprised if it ends up being Naito again. I think it would probably lean more towards that Okada theory you have, but I guess we'll see what they do.
Yeah, and I know this isn't the answer he's asking, but I think it's gonna be Okada. And I don't know if it's 1-4 or 1-5, but one of those days I think we're gonna get Zack and Okada.
Death Triangle 720, is it safe to say Zack will win and have two title defenses before the end of the year?
I think so. I think we're getting him and Umino, and I think we're getting him and Sonata.
Yeah, I think those are pretty much a lock. Then last question here from Discord Daddy says, is it really KOPW without the KOPW title being defended? For all the weird things they've done with this title, is not having a program culminating on this card a clear miss?
It's interesting. They've got non-title matches on the card with the House of Torture Hantai tag match, and then the Hiromu Mystico match. And it is interesting that has been bumped, but I'm okay with it. I'm not really that big a proponent of KOPW anyways. And you know, fucking Okan lost against Naito anyway. So
yeah, honestly, like that thought didn't really cross my mind till he asked that question. Because, you know, this pay-per-view has been established way before the title was established. So, but I mean, I guess I could kind of see where he's coming from. I mean, it would make sense to do that, have that title on King of Pro Wrestling. But like I mentioned, he just lost to Naito. He just had a big title match spot. So time for some other title programs to fill in the card here.
That is going to do it for our review. Let's jump into the news. Just going very quickly, there was an announcement that Stardom's Nagoya event Saturday night, the first match has been signed for Historic Crossover 2, November 17th. The G1 Climax winner, Zack Sabre Jr., and 5-star Grand Prix winner, Micah, will take on El Desperado and Starlight Kid in tag team action. Great O'Conn showed up at Stardom and issued an open challenge for the KOPW title at Historic Crossover. So we're it looks like we're getting an intergender title match there. Mayu Iwatani successfully defended the IWGP Women's Championship against Toni Storm. Strong Style Evolved has been announced for the Walter Pyramid December 15th. Tickets are on sale 12 noon Friday, October 11th. Josh Barnett has been assigned to serve as a guest Noge Dojo coach starting this month. The video of the Kenny Omega and Hiroshi Tanahashi reunion was released, and they were teasing an Omega and Tanahashi versus the Young Bucks match at Wrestle Dynasty. We had a question from Discord Daddy. He says, can you guys talk a bit about Kenny and Tana reunion? How do you feel about it and the proposed match versus the Young Bucks? Also, give that match a star floor.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a very interesting matchup. And like we talked about last week, I never thought that they were building to a singles match. So them teaming together makes sense for Wrestle Dynasty. And yeah, I think them against the Bucks would be a pretty great match. Also, you know, based on what storylines that have happened with the Bucks and Tanahashi and the Bucks and Kenny in the past year. And so yeah, I think the floor there is definitely four stars. I think four stars are better just for the talent, the atmosphere, even for a broken down Tanahashi. If you kind of have the Bucks and Kenny running the plays, I think they can definitely get over four stars.
This would be Wrestle Dynasty is what? That's the December card for AEW?
No, that's January 5th.
Oh, okay. My bad. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's interesting just because, you know, Tanahashi and Kenny didn't ever really get along, but now the tables kind of turned with Kenny's face turn. I personally would rather, if Kenny's going to come over and he's going to work a date, I would rather it not be against the Young Bucks personally. I know that there's a story to be told there given what's occurred in AEW, but I mean, we so rarely get this guy over in Japan, and there's so much talent he could be working with. I don't really see a lot of upside for him to work with Tanahashi and the Bucks again. Even though the match has never quite happened, we've seen derivatives of this in the past. So, and, you know, at the same time, we talked about Tanahashi. There's no denying Tanahashi's star power. That's a meaningful match. And, you know, if you're Omega and you're just returning from injury, you probably do want to work with safe guys that you can trust that, you know, are going to protect you and give you a great match. So, 50 minutes have elapsed, 10 minutes remain. I would rather see Kenny do something more challenging and interesting personally.
Well, there's always 1-4. Maybe he gets a matchup, a singles on January 4th and then do the tag on January 5th.
I kind of get that feeling that we're likely going to see the outside guys in the bigger showcase matches on 1-5. And if they do appear on 1-4, it'll be more in like a, you know, a setup
tag,
right? I don't see them going from one big match on 1-4 to a somewhat big match, but you know, on 1-5, but not like the main event sort of thing. I don't think that's what they're doing, if I had to guess. So
yeah,
I mean, I don't think we're gonna see Kenny in a dream match the day before, if that's what I mean.
Yeah, I can definitely be like Omega, Tanahashi, and Hantai against the Bucks and like Bullet Club or something.
And again, you have to wonder, like, how much of that do you even want on 1-4, considering the fact it's 1-4? I mean, is Wrestle Kingdom, Wrestle Kingdom, or is it, you know, Road to Wrestle Dynasty? Like, which one is it?
Yeah.
More matches have been signed for Royal Quest 6. Shota Umino versus Calum Newman, Yota Tsuji versus Drill Maloney, Kosei Fujita versus Michael Oku, Mina and Kanji versus Izumi and Danny Luna. And then lastly, Youngblood were successful in capturing the WXW Tag Team Champions. They are the new Tag Team Champions of Germany.
All right, a few quick questions here. DeathRangle720, agree or disagree? Do you think a new era of New Japan will begin until a new gen wins the world title?
No, I feel like we've been in a new era for a few years now.
Yeah, I think new era started, 2020.
Yeah, I think so too.
Lagoon the Worst, what should Hanare be going after losing so much?
I was just wondering on the wording. Thank you for the question, but I was wondering on the phrasing.
What should Hanare be going after? What should he be doing after losing so much?
It's not you, it's the way it was typed, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, it could be any number of things. It could be another, a different title. So maybe he aspires to a different singles title, or maybe like a tag team venture. I mean, what else can he do? You know?
Yeah.
I guess in the immediate sense, I guess you would set your sights on World Tag League from a kayfabe sense.
Yeah. I'd like to see him in a tag title picture. I think that, you know, him and Cobb or him and Ocon together could be utilized very well in the tag division. Equivalent underscore side underscore 847. What's your Wrestle Kingdom main event prediction?
It's tough. I'm still banking, and I'm just guessing, but I'm still banking on the idea that we might wind up with Okada versus Zack Sabre Jr. and Naito versus Hiromu as like your top two matches.
Yeah, I definitely think Zack's going to be champion and defending. I mean, the Okada thing seems to be the only thing that makes sense unless you're doing a Naito rematch or somehow some kind of shingle match.
I don't even know how much sense it makes. I'm like the only person saying it.
Well, I mean, I just based off the logic of like what you mentioned of them not putting in first time headliners, it's like that's pretty much your options are like Naito, Okada, or Shingo, or like what you're gonna do. And like they've already done Shingo and Zack this year. They've done Zack and Naito already. They're gonna do it again. And so yeah, I think that for the fresher matchup and with all these guys coming over, there's a lot of meat behind that theory.
Yeah.
Then last question here, Death Triangle 720. What's an interesting story New Japan can do with the junior tag / heavyweight tag belts that feel distinct and not by the book?
I don't know, man. I'm not the booker.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of stories they can tell. I mean, I like the whole thing, story of a dominant champion like they're doing with War Dogs and building up a team to kind of beat them, and then even the story of having a team like keep trying and failing, and it's like the last shot, like you have to win this match or disband, something like that, and then the babyfaces finally win. It's something they could do. Yeah,
I don't know. I mean, New Japan tells their stories in a very different way than other companies do, so you have to kind of keep that in mind. I think a lot of that would kind of be driven by the backstage promos and, you know, probably attacks and shit like that. You know, maybe some sort of breakup angle where, you know, something happens within a faction, someone, you know, defects, and then it leads to, you know, a title challenge of some sort. I think that could be interesting, but, with who and what, I don't know. I always hate those hypotheticals, 'cause I'm not really into the booking side of things. I prefer to just let it play out, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. Well, that is going to wrap things up. Well, let's real quick, recommended match of the week. We did have a listener, our boy Adam on Twitter, did send us a excursion match suggestion of Robbie Eagles versus Jackson Drake for the Soul of PWA title from DPW California Classic, which is up now, I think, on Wrestle Universe, I believe. So yeah, we can check that match out.
Yeah, that match is up. I think it's on YouTube, actually.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
But we're definitely going to watch it. So yeah, that will be the recommended match of the week for next week for us to review, provided we can come back and do a show next week.
Yeah, as long as we're still here.
I mean, I'm sure we'll be safe, you know, but at the same time, we are very possibly looking at severe power outages that could be long lasting, or even internet outages, or who knows. It really just depends. Me and Jeremy are in different parts of the Bay Area here in Tampa, and we're keeping an eye on this storm. We've got preparations made and, you know, our own, I guess, escape routes and shit like that. But a lot of what happens here, this is going to be a catastrophic storm. We didn't talk about it too much at the start of the show. We're at that one hour mark, but what happens, how much damage is done really is going to depend on where this hurricane makes landfall with the eye. and it could be catastrophic for the immediate area that we're in. It might not be as bad under other certain scenarios, but it's going to hit somebody in the on the east coast of Florida really, really, really like fucking bad. So we'll see. There is a chance.
Yeah.
There's the chance we might not be able to come back and do a show next week, or, you know, God forbid, even a prolonged period.
Yes.
We'll see what our power situation looks like, because we need electricity to do the show.
Yeah. And internet. Yeah. So, yeah. So we'll see what happens. But if all is good, we will be back next week to review King of Pro Wrestling. So remember, if you
there could be a scenario where we outsource the show entirely.
One Nation Radio on Keeping It Strong Style. Well, if you want to watch our show live or listen without ads, sign up at patreon.com/KIStrongStyle. You can also make a donation by visiting socialsuplex.com/donate and click on the donate button under Keeping It Strong Style logo. Also, get one of our new t-shirts over at chop-tees.com/socialsuplex. And make sure to connect with us on social media on X. Follow us at KI Strong Style, at socialsuplex, and at Jeremy O'Donovan. On Facebook, follow us at facebook.com/socialsuplex and the Wrestling Square Circle Facebook group. On Reddit, I am the Pro Black Guy. Y'all just keep me a strong style. On YouTube, we are at socialsuplex. Join our socialsuplex Discord server to interact with us and other wrestling fans. You can email me, Jeremy@socialsuplex.com. Check out all the shows that we have here on the Social Suplex Podcast Network, One Nation Radio, hosted by Rich Latta and James Boyd, All Things Elite with Floyd and Austin, The Imps, WWE Adventure with the Implications, Matthew Mayer, Wrestling Art with Chris Sings, Tunnel Talk with Ali and Aaliyah, and the Trish and Sarah Wrestling Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a rating and review, and we'll catch you hopefully next week on Keeping It Strong Style, the Ace of Podcasts.
Ichiban.
Thank you for listening to Keeping It Strong Style. We'll see you next time.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.